Before resuming our study, we will pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful to you for yet another opportunity to study your word with the opportunity to grow in grace if we provide the positive volition. We thank you for your matchless grace as we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We're at the top of page 144 with subparagraph I, and we're going to note seven characteristics of negative volition toward doctrine. First of all, indifference or apathy toward Bible teaching from a pastor teacher. That's assuming that you show up. But indifference or apathy toward Bible teaching from a pastor teacher, that has to occur in the auditorium. If you don't show up, well, then that's that. Number two, wrong priorities. This means you're too busy to consistently hear doctrine taught. There are so many distractions today to pull you from Bible class. Wrong priorities don't mean the things we like and do are wrong, but that they're wrong when we put them before Bible doctrine. There are quite a number of things that you can enjoy, quite a number of activities in which you may engage that are all just wonderful and fine. But top priority must be the inculcation of the Word of God. As I tried to emphasize in the first session, the power that can endure in the time of our national testing right now has to do with the believer in Jesus Christ. How many few might be left is not the impact that I stress here. It is the fact that it is necessary. You need to forget about any distractions that would in any way interrupt your continued process of growing in grace through Bible study. You have many electronic contrivances that you can use. We have websites, we have books, we have all kinds of things you can utilize in order to stay current on your spiritual growth process. Our nation is in desperate need of believers who are growing in grace, and especially those who've been at it for a good long while. You are the unseen power that is, of course, evident for those who understand it. You're the ones that can have impact historically on the current zeitgeist. So we have indifference or apathy toward Bible teaching from a pastor teacher. Then we have, secondly, wrong priorities. This means you're too busy to consistently hear doctrine taught. There are so many distractions today to pull you from Bible class. Wrong priorities don't mean the things we like and do are wrong, but that they are wrong when you put them before Bible doctrine. Okay, number three. Antagonism or personality conflict with a pastor who is actually teaching doctrine. Due to having your eyes on the pastor and resenting him in some way, you don't hear what he's saying and so miss the content of the message. Holy Spirit is the solution here, for He gives you the power and ability to hear what is said rather than how it is said and by whom it is said. If you can get your mind get your mind around the communication gift, man, there's some weird people that get this gift. Well, the question is, if I wasn't a pastor teacher, what would I be doing? I guess you answered that. Like, what? Well, I get to sit in a chair most of the day every day and look at a book, look at a computer screen, that kind of thing. I'm surrounded by books. I've got huge inventory. I've got books that are in the basement in boxes I'm afraid to open because I'll slap my forehead and say, yikes, I forgot I had this. But in order to get up here and try to do my duty here, I have to sit in the chair. And I know whatever you do is very important. If you have a job, you need to show up every day and do the best you can. That's your duty. If you don't have a job, then you have more time to concentrate on the inculcation of the Word of God, because inculcation and application, sitting in a chair, has absolute power in the time of great need in client nation America. If you have spare time, concentrate on the Word of God. Enter into prayer. Ask God to somehow intervene. He's able to do so. Now, whether he wants to or not is another subject. How far over the cliff have we gone as a client nation is a good question to ask, because there is not a client nation up to this moment that has survived. Keep that in mind. Others have been challenged and fought it off for a while, but then they couldn't hold the fort forever. So when I say things like that to you, there's a potentiality that you'll hear what I've said and you'll become, let's say, saddened, give up hope, that kind of thing. But what I'm saying to you is, why play that game from the dark side? Lucifer wants you to think that way. He wants you to think there's no hope left. And when I watch what's going on in Client Nation America, I have to admit to you, I think, is there any way this fat can be pulled out of this fire? They've only just begun. But Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. So be a pivot person and let Jesus Christ control history on your behalf. The invisible hero kind of concept. Number three. Antagonism or personality conflict with a pastor who is actually teaching doctrine. Due to having your eyes on the pastor and resenting him in some way, you don't hear what he's saying and so miss the content of the message. The Holy Spirit is the solution here, for he gives you the power and ability to hear what is said rather than how it is said and by whom it is said. So that's just the communication gift. And some people respond to one person's presentation as they would not with another. And they roam around and find the guy that satisfies their intellect. And that's fine. Get your right pastor. Number four, failure to learn and to utilize the problem-solving devices of the protocol plan of God. For example, spiritual phenomena cannot be understood by the believer who fails to use rebound. Although saved, although they have a lot of doctrine, they're out of fellowship. Five, lack of concentration and ignorance of good manners. Poor manners are a manifestation of thoughtlessness of other people. You cannot listen and talk in Bible class at the same time. Talking also distracts other people and breaks their concentration. This has been a very good congregation over the years, and that rarely ever occurs. But it has, and it was such an anomaly that I was distracted by it. Number six, inability to cope with prosperity or adversity. When people become prosperous, they often are distracted from doctrine, or when people cannot cope with adversity. And so finally, failure to understand your very own portfolio of invisible assets, they often seek psychological solutions. That's one place you can go. I guess there's a good place for that, for those who need it, but I'm telling you, the best mental education that you can get is the absolute truths of the Word of God. Some people can actually have problems that go on in their brains and legitimately have a difficulty thinking and drawing conclusions and so on. That would be an illness of some kind. Now, I'm not able to tell you what that would be, but there are these things. Lots of these confusions, though, come from the refusal to concentrate or in opposition to what is being taught. And therefore, as a result of that, they don't get the truth because they're off somewhere thinking about other things and therefore in opposition to concentration and growing in grace. Now let's talk about blackout of the soul. That doesn't even sound good. Blackout of the soul. I've highlighted the last three because this is the danger zone here. A vacuum in the soul that causes human viewpoint, human good and evil to be sucking into the soul, which corrupts the thought process with doctrines of demons. Total disorientation due to the influence of evil. Whoa. The influence of evil. Well, everyone is being influenced by evil right now. I mean, it's coming from every source. It's hard to do anything that evil is not right in your face. For example, I subscribe to the Compost Dispatch. So it's evil on the front page. It is multiple evil on the editorial page. The news stories that are written are evil. If you know how to read a newspaper, and I do, then the way news stories are written by that screed, they would fail. Well, you, I don't know about it presently, but when I was in journalism, they would have been run out of the room writing stories like they write as a news story today. You have to quote sources that agree with each other. You don't impute into the news article you write your opinion. And that's what's going on in journalism today. So I do the Post-Dispatch so I can see how it's not done, and the Epoch Times in order to see how it is done. They know journalism. And therefore, you quote sources, and the sources have to agree, and you impute that into your news article. So-and-so said this. The other guy said that. And so on it goes, and you present the story in a way that the reader can understand what actually happened, not the opinion of the writer. I'm telling you, journalism has gone down the tubes, generally speaking. And the schools of journalism are responsible for this, I'm sure of it. I feel better now. Going to the next point. Reversionism, eight stages. We just looked at blackout of the soul. Ephesians 4:17 gives the technical Greek word for the blackout of the soul. Matai ates is the word. Negative volition creates a vacuum that sucks in false doctrine into the soul. Ephesians 4:17 reads this way. Therefore, I communicate this, and because of the Lord, I insist that you no longer walk as Gentiles, meaning here unbelievers, as Gentiles walk in the vacuum of their mind. One of the problems that you run into today is that you are around people whose souls have been vacuumed. Establishment viewpoint, doctrinal viewpoint, general viewpoint is absent. They've been propagandized into the lie that they believe is true. And it didn't happen overnight, by the way. John Dewey started this a century ago. So through this vacuum comes the doctrine of demons, including religionism, liberalism, crusader arrogance, and anti-establishment thinking, according to 1 Timothy 4:1. I decided to jot that down. The Spirit explicitly says that in latter periods, in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons. That's the New American Standard. In the 21st century. Look, 21st century, it says this out of the first century. The Spirit explicitly says, that's the Holy Spirit, that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, Paul wrote that in the first century. This is the 21st. It's like it was just written. So there. The false has got some subpoints here. The false doctrine passing through the vacuum of the soul is called demon influence or being influenced by evil. This is not the same as demon possession. In many ways, it's worse. Then B, the believer cannot be demon possessed because he's indwelt by God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Let's note in an insert I've written down another verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who indwells you? And then we have 1 Corinthians 6:16, Romans 8:10, John 17:23. You're also indwelt by Jesus Christ. But the demon influence comes through false teaching. And the false teaching, of course, gets it back to the pulpit. And the false teaching, therefore, from the pulpit propagandizes those in the congregation that they believe is true. They leave the auditorium and go wherever they go, and they go home and they communicate what they believe is true to the wife, the husband, or the children and say, "This is the truth. I learned it in church today. So go by this idea." So therefore makes it worse. Demon influence comes through, therefore, false teaching. Now, the believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whether he's out of fellowship or not. Although the believer cannot be demon-possessed, he is vulnerable to demon influence, which comes from permanent negative volition, and that's stage 6 of reversionism, and that's where we are. A couple of subpoints on that. Infiltration of the doctrine of demons results in the blackout of the soul. And this comes from failure to be filled with the Spirit and lack of consistent exposure to Bible doctrine. So if you don't avail yourself to the teaching of the Word, then you're not learning immutable truth. So if you're not learning immutable truth, then you have to depend on incoming data from multiple sources like the Post-Dispatch or from certain let's say electronic media, various news channels that you can log on to and listen to that blabber. You need to learn to find out where truth is being communicated. And you can't do that if you don't know truth yourself. So many people are buying the lie from people with straight faces telling lies. I was in television, I was in radio, I have majors in all of this, been there, done that, I know how to watch TV. And it is a mess. With straight faces. So again, the blackout of the soul is tantamount to God relationship fragmentation. Good relationship fragmentation is failure to execute the protocol plan of God through neglect of post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation and failure to learn and use the portfolio of invisible assets and the problem-solving devices. Now, there's a cluster of doctrines right there. So let's repeat the blackout of the soul. That's where we are. How does this occur? It's tantamount to God relationship fragmentation. Concepts and ideas taught that are supposed to be accepted as truth regarding biblical concepts. God relationship fragmentation is failure to execute the protocol plan of God through neglect of post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation. What is epistemology? It has to do with inculcation of data. The data here is the Word of God. And you rehab your thought process from that inculcation process. It takes boring Bible classes like the one we've got going on right now. I use a word like epistemological rehabilitation. What is that? Epistemology has to do with inculcation of data and retention of it. And it rehabs the soul's thought process and its decision making. and failure to learn and use the portfolio of invisible assets and problem-solving devices, of which there are many. So knowing these things gives you a filter for incoming information. You can filter it. Go to CNN, go to MSNBC, go to KMOX, and listen. And then come away from it and ask yourself the question, did you believe any of this? And if you didn't believe it, why is that? How can you knowingly turn on an electronic contrivance on purpose and listen to what's being communicated, and then at the commercial break, ask yourself the question, I am disgusted, am I not, with what I just heard on free media? The Apostle John describes a blackout of the soul from several verses. Let's note them. John 12:35c. Jesus said to them, he who walks in darkness doesn't know where he goes. What is the darkness? The darkness is stupidity of truth. Got 20/20 vision, can see everywhere they go, got perfect hearing, can understand everything that's said, and they still don't know where they're going. Why is that? Because the incoming data is flack. And they believe it. He who walks in darkness doesn't know where he goes. Because they're being led by the lie. 1 John 1:6. If we contend that we have fellowship with him and we keep on walking in darkness, we are lying and we do not practice the truth. So many people are believing the lie that they're propagandized into believing that it is true, that is accepted as truth, and so the lie becomes a problem-solving device. 1 John 2:11, when anyone hates his fellow believer, he is in darkness. That's no royal law there. And he walks in darkness, and he does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's eyes of the soul. So, the blackout of the soul indicates ignorance of Bible doctrine, cosmic involvement, and the replacement of Bible doctrine with false doctrine. And so the vacuum of the soul, mentioned in Ephesians 4:17, is the channel created by negative volition and implosion through the false doctrine, through which false doctrine enters into the soul of the believer. So let's see if I can figure out how to operate my gizmo again. I'll drill down. The fragmented believer. This visual, as you can obviously see, was developed by R.B. Thieme Jr. back in the day. It's like it was copyrighted in the year 2000. But it's interesting what we have here, a combination of a number of things. And it's talking about a fragmented believer. It says someone, a believer in Jesus Christ, going to heaven when they die, and so on. But they're fragmented. What is the fragmentation here? When something fragments, and the illustration that he gave back in the day was a hand grenade. And as I understand it from watching movies, I've never had one thrown at me. But as I watch war movies, someone throws a hand grenade at a group of people and it explodes. Then fragments go out and hit the person's bodies and tears things up, and then they either die or are critically wounded. So he took a hand grenade and called that, when it explodes, it fragments. And when it fragments, it just damages all parts of the body, and that's what it's geared to do. I mean, they invented this, and it works. But this is an illustration of the fragmentation of the soul. And what is it that explodes? What explodes is the acceptance and assumption of that it is true of false doctrine or false establishment concepts. So temptations of the sin nature bring this about. The fragmented believer, yielding to a temptation means that your thought process is fragmented in a certain way, so that you have bought an erroneous idea and voted on it by application and so on. So you have sin, and so an implosion occurs. This is spiritual life. You don't rebound, so you continue to do these erroneous decisions. And so you have an explosion and fragmentation from that. So the idea is you come in a Bible class and you inculcate, you facilitate, apply. And then something happens over time that you back off from that. Whatever the reasons are, they are multiple, but you get away from the consistent facilitation of these biblical ideas. You see that. And you can do this. Everyone can do this. You can go negative. So there's an explosion in the soul where all of this is fragmented because of false doctrine. So it can go to two areas. It can go to legalism, which is moral degeneracy. I've been wanting to do that all my life. I plan to get started today. To heck with the doctrine that says I ought not to. And then you go over here, antinomianism, immoral degeneracy. Moral, immoral. Rob banks, kill people, that kind of thing. And there's a stage of reversionism there, which we're looking at. Involved in all of this chaos, all these fragmented ideas, you have a stage that runs down to reverse process reversionism. And we're looking now, I believe we're at number 6, if I'm looking at my page right, blackout of the soul. This is a believer. And look what had to happen to get down to that spot. When you get down to this spot, and that is why, if I can go back now after all of that. There, right there. Blackout of the soul, I highlighted that so you could see it. This is the bottom here. This is where it really gets dangerous. This is where you're striking out. This is the sin unto death. Let's call that category down at the bottom. You're going to die the sin unto death in this category if you don't stop. And it has to do with the way you think. Nobody's after you. No, nobody's coming to you and saying, we're going to take you down to the pits of fragmentation. No, you do this to yourself. And then scar tissue of the soul, what's scar tissue? All the kinds of things you've learned is scar tissue over because of poor decision making. Then there's a reverse process reversionism. That's blackout, and good God knows where you go from there. But spiritually, you have committed spiritual suicide. Now, I'm railing at you guys that showed up at Bible class. You say, why are you telling me this? I'm a good, loyal Christian. I showed up today, and I've stayed awake the whole time. What's this about? What this is about is for me to take the doctrine of reversionism and go from stem to stern on this thing so that when you walk out the swinging doors today and you go out there, this is what you're going to see, what you're going to hear, what's on the media that you tune into. Joe Henry and I watch TV. We like to sit around and watch a movie at night. We have to go to the I don't know how they do it legally anymore, but you can actually go get an old movie and not be propagandized. Even the movies, the old ones can pretty much hold up if you pick the right ones. But my point is that it's all the way you think. Well, how about this? You've been in doctrine. I see people around here as I look. There's one sitting right there that was in the nursery when I got here. I think she might not even been alive. But at least in the nursery, trying to walk. And then some of you older than me. Well, maybe not older. But you know what I'm saying, you're in between. There's one sitting back there in the back, all grinning. He's got children. He was one of these things when I got here. And he stayed with it, and I'm talking about your brother. Feel like I'm talking about your brother because, you know, Gary's around somewhere. there are people who stayed with it. I can't tell you in 37 years here how many young people have decided they don't want this anymore. And that's okay. That's free will. I'm not complaining about it. It's just the way it is. It's hard to get people to listen to boring Bible classes. But young people have peeled off. Don't shatter the door. Well, that's fine because that's their free will. But the big problem is that is the situation in client nation America. The youth have been propagandized for so long, they believe that the lie is the truth. And that's why we're studying reversionism. Where am I, Joe Henry? Five. Oh, I've just started this page. Well, I've got to blitzkrieg here to get down to seven before my time is up. But let's talk about five again. The vacuum of the soul mentioned in Ephesians 4:17 is the channel created by negative volition and implosion. Implode, explode, through false doctrine enters into the soul of the believer. Then six, we've got the fragmented believer. Didn't I do the fragmentation guy? I thought I did. Yeah, there's a fragmented believer. The mechanics of the blackout of the soul include implosion or self-fragmentation towards sin nature trends, explosion of polarized fragmentation through legalism, and fragmentation toward categories of subjective arrogance. And even the believer, by being negative toward the gospel, has blackout of the soul. And that's 2 Corinthians 4:3. Reads this way. Even if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of those who are unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Scar tissue of the soul. Got a couple of minutes, so let's engage this and we'll resume whatever we don't do on Wednesday. Reversionism, eight stages. This is scar tissue. If you're going to go back to that. It's highlighted the buildup of false doctrines in the soul, which shuts down any recall of doctrine. The rate of forgiving exceeds the rate of recall, forgetting. A rate of forgetting exceeds the rate of recall. Vocabulary is diminished, norms and standards degenerate, momentum halts, and wisdom is lost. All spiritual functions shut down. Now, if you digress this far to where all spiritual functions shut down, where's the believer at this point? And why am I railing at you about it? Because you've shown up for Bible class. I'm trying to get across to you why we are where we are culturally in client nation America. How did we get to this point? Who is it that spun off? Who are these guys? They are people who used to be in Bible class. They are people who used to think with, let's say, the standards of establishment viewpoint and have bought the lie. How did this happen? Who propagandized them away from truth to buy the lie? The National Education Association, primarily. They propagandized children. It's not top-down children. It is bottom-up. The communists tried top-down, and it didn't work. The people, therefore, were conquered, but they didn't like being conquered, but they couldn't do anything about it. I'm talking about Russia. And somebody slapped their forehead and said, we did this backwards. It's got to be bottom up. And I'll never forget the day Bill Clinton said that when he was president. We've got to go bottom up. Well, that already been bottom up with John Dewey and the Frankfurt School. And all that ilk, that started in the 30s with the Frankfurt School, Gramsci and that bunch. We've studied all of this. How long did it take before it materialized into the present hour? It took a full century to do it. Yet here we are. And you want to know why this is the way it is? Because they did the bottom-up routine. Forget the adults. They're lost in there. They're going to die off. But the little children, we can control every jot and tittle of what they learn. And we'll start with the public schools. And I'm not making any of that up. They are darkened in their way of thinking. They have been alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance which is in them, because of the scar tissue of their cardias. Scar tissue of the soul is prolonged residence in the cosmic system. It is prolonged fragmentation that is unchecked, reaction to any form of accurate Bible teaching, and strong reaction to those who communicate accurately the mystery doctrine of the church age. We'll stop with this one. This is tantamount to paralyzing the valves of the heart so that there's no more circulation of doctrine in the frame of reference, memory center, vocabulary storage, categorical storage, the conscience, the momentum department, wisdom, the subconscious mind. So let's note the visual and we'll call it a day. What's the frame of reference? That's the retention of Bible doctrine. You have a frame of reference for doctrines. Memory center, recall of doctrine and its circulation to other compartments. They had recall, see. Vocabulary storage, the dictionary of the believer's soul. Use a lot of terms, but we've developed them over time, so it's part of your vocabulary. Categorical storage, doctrine retained by subject matter. The 11 categories of systematic theology. The conscience, the ability to distinguish right from wrong. How can you be confident that what you know is absolute truth? Emeth and aletheia. Old Testament word for truth is emeth. New Testament word for truth is aletheia. What's in the Bible is always true. It doesn't change with the times. It doesn't change with differences of opinion. It's absolute truth, screwed down, doesn't change. Ability to distinguish right from wrong, the inventory is in the Word. Momentum, self-evaluation, problem-solving, and sophisticated thought. You're sophisticated. Then wisdom, execution of the sophisticated spiritual life. That's the goal, that's the objective. When we can get there and stay there, live there, then we have invisible historical impact in your personal life and for the Christian believers in Client Nation America. You are the invisible heroes. Never forget that. Stay in the bubble and keep moving. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of studying these things today. It is our prayer the Holy Spirit will take them and aggrandize them in our souls for application into the devil's world. We lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. And I do have one announcement that I failed to give at halftime. On the bulletin board in the cafeteria, there's a place to sign up for food, various categories of food, that you can volunteer to bring next Sunday for our monthly luncheon that occurs after the second session. You're dismissed. More? Oh, we have a tune. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?